Hello there, tech enthusiasts, spirit connoisseurs, and everyone in between. Welcome to another episode of Whiskey and Widgets, the podcast where we unplug the complexities of technology and unwind with a smooth, rich sip of whiskey. In this case, I'm drinking bourbon tonight. I'm your co-host, Chris.
And this is Brad. And I don't think you're Chris. I think you are Chris GPT.
No one will ever know.
I'm changing up a little bit too, just like you. This episode is not brought to you by a word. It's brought to you by a phrase. The phrase is, just because you can doesn't mean you should. James, why is it that some people think that because they can, they should?
That's a fantastic question, Brad. I think we might want to explore that a little bit here tonight. And as we do so, let me just welcome everyone back as well. I'm your co-host, James, and thank you for joining us on our Whiskey and Widgets journey, where we're going to explore some topics that matter and widgets that we're passionate about, all over a sip of liquor. So this week, Brad, I think I'm going to answer your question a little bit more directly. I think people oftentimes don't stop to ask the question of, should you? They get so fascinated with the idea of, could you? And they never ask, should you? And this is why you end up with like real bad confections. Let's just say it that way.
James, I like you again. And I have to admit that I don't have a drink tonight, nor do I have my glass of water because I'm running late, but I did have a Knob Creek 9 with dinner.
How was it?
With dinner?
It was amazing.
What was dinner? What'd you pair with it?
So when you're drinking whiskey, what do you typically eat that with? I mean, to me, it's like, I don't know. I can't think of a food that goes well with like a bourbon
or
whiskey.
Barbecue, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's barbecue. That's true.
It depends.
Given, yeah.
Sometimes I just have it. I do try to pair Knob Creek 9, but I do also go with the whiskey of some whiskey is better for mixing, some whiskey is better for drinking. Tonight I had sautéed mushrooms and onions with a chicken breast with a chipotle seasoning.
How did you saute the onions? Just
in a pan.
Did you use a butter or an oil for the fat? An oil.
Used an oil.
So you go in
light oil.
You go in like healthy
olive
stuff.
Oil with right. Salt and pepper. James, do you know me?
You know, you got to double check, make sure that like you aren't actually a Brad GPT. And if you had said you were using butter, then I would know this is a deep fake.
True that. I maybe like you a little bit more. See, James, someone explained to me one time, life is like a glass of water. Every time someone does something good, you put a drop into it. Every time somebody does something bad, you take a drop out. And when the cup's empty, you throw away the glass.
All right.
What? That's when you stop giving a shit.
I did go to a winery this past weekend.
You did?
Yes.
I didn't know you're a wine person. I know you're a white wine person.
No.
What'd you drink?
I drank wine.
But what wine? What kind of wine?
Red wine?
I had...
White wine?
I ended up getting...
A Malbec?
I ended up getting a flight of wine... But more on the sweet, I had the woman who was taking our order pick from the wines. And I wanted something sweet.
That's what they call them?
Something sweet. I wanted a red wine flight, something sweet and dry, right in the middle. So I have the cards from the flight, but I don't have them with me. So I don't remember what I had.
Do you go from light to dark, light to red, dark red?
Well, I went a different way because of I wanted to go between sweet and dry. So I went from sweet to dry.
Sweet to dry. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, I didn't go from the dark to light because I, if you listened to Chris, I said I wanted to go sweet to dry. Therefore, and then afterwards, I ended up, they had a homemade sangria with some of their wine.
Mm.
So I wanted, it was freshly
Those
made
are
that day.
Good,
it, if you go to a winery, I tend to, and I do something that you'll appreciate and I get a chance to mention to you. I go with sometimes what it is. Like, you know, to me, a winery is kind of a gimmick. You know, you pay for the atmosphere, but you can also get some nice things because it's a beautiful establishment. You know, you get to see the barrels, you get to see the grapes, you get to see everything going on. They had a fresh, you know, batch of sangria that they made, supposedly, which I'll give it to them. But the thing that they had that was the special of the day was a pulled pork with kimchi coleslaw sandwich. Let me tell you something, Chris. This was the best pulled pork sandwich I have ever had. And you want to know the best part about it? And I see James is having some chicken cock. James, after the days that we're having, you sure could get a dose of a chicken cock.
Sometimes it's just what you need.
But to go back, Chris, it was they smoked the pork the night before. Mm-hmm. So it's the type of things when they do this, like they smoke the pork. You obviously know what they have is what they have, right? Once they're out. You can't immaterially smoke pork instantly. This was the best pulled pork sandwich that I had. It had a pretzel bun. Yes, I had the bun. Typically, I don't have a lot of bread in my diet, nor much bread at all. But the pretzel bun with the pulled pork sandwich with the kimchi coleslaw, I love coleslaw on my pulled pork sandwiches, by the way, was amazing. The best part, they didn't put any sauce on the pulled pork.
Yeah. That's this was the only most, way, the right way to do it.
This was the most flavorful, tender, juicy pork. Wasn't tainted by any barbecue sauce, wasn't tainted, you know, because sometimes people put the barbecue sauce on it. It doesn't matter what the pork is like because you're just getting the flavor of the barbecue sauce. This was the actual flavor of the pork and the smoking. And this sandwich, can I tell you, I would have 10,000 of them and I wouldn't be full. I don't care if I would explode.
That's the best way to make pulled pork because I love making pulled pork. I just happened to make one a couple of weeks ago, but you don't want to smother it with sauce or barbecue. It takes away the process that you went through for 18 hours to smoke that pork only to be smothered with some barbecue sauce. It totally takes it away. It's not right.
I agree with that. I learned a lesson because I have a family member as he was growing up. We used to do a lot of food tours. What I mean by food tours is he would be like, oh, I want to go find the best, you know, hot dog around. So we'd go to the hot dog stands and try like the best. But we'd put it like on a baseline, right? If you want a chili dog, you have to get the chili dog. If it was a steamed hot dog, you get a steamed hot dog. And then just one time we went for pizza. We went to all these pizza places because I love pizza. And at that time I liked the pizza. So we'd go around and I would say, okay, what do you want to order for pizza? And he said to me, and this is what where it really hit me. We're just getting a cheese pizza. And I said, what? I said, I like all these other pizzas. This place has the best pizza. He goes, but you have to order the cheese pizza because that's the baseline for them all. He said, you can put different types of sausage, you can put different types of peppers, pepperoni, whatever you want. But the flavor is coming from the meat they use, not the pizza that they're making. So you don't get a true sense of the cheese, the sauce, the crust. It's tainted by the meat, which they don't make.
I would actually advocate.
Right.
First, in a lot of cases, there are pizza places where they do make the meat. And if I ever made a pizza place, if I ever opened a pizza restaurant, every stinking meat that I put on there would be something I smoked myself because that sounds like an awesome way to make a pizza and is something I've been enjoying when I make pizzas at home. But I'll say this, there's a big difference between a pizza that has toppings and one that has cheese. Most of the time, by weight and volume of what's on the pizza, you end up with a lot more cheese on a cheese pizza. And that can definitely change the experience with the dough that you're using and the sauce ratios. And so you could have a restaurant that has amazing specialty pizzas, and what you're doing with a cheese pizza is you're emphasizing the quality of the cheese that they're using over the complete solution they're making. And it, I would say that your project, like your methodology, is 100% correct if the restaurant has a cheese pizza on their menu. But if it's not on their menu and you're asking them to make it as a cheese pizza, then you're not getting that restaurant's experience.
If I would not go to a pizza place that would not sell you a cheese pizza. I'm just telling you right now, because that at that point, that's not a pizza place.
You know what?
Right. That's some bougie place that wants to have a special pizza. I mean, if you cannot sell,
I'm not saying they couldn't sell pizza. I'm just saying,
or
you don't want to grade them on the thing that isn't what they're focusing on. Coming back to your pork sandwich idea, as a note, my preference on barbecue
sauce. James, cheese pizza is as American as apple pie.
Is apple pie even really American, Brad? Is it? Is it?
James, I don't know. I just know the saying.
Well, it's what makes the saying kind of ironic. Chris, my thought on the sandwich idea, just as I didn't want to interrupt, but I want to share this. Barbecue sauce on a good smoked piece of meat, when you're making a sandwich, you don't put it on the meat. You use it the same way you would butter your bun. You barbecue sauce the bun. So if you want a barbecue sauce, you put it on the bun, and that's delightful. So here's my question. What kind of sauce do you like?
One moment, James. I think you use it like you use ketchup with French fries. You dunk it.
You drizzle it. Whatever. But I'm telling you, sure, someone who's making
on
it
on your meat, no.
Yeah, but if you're the person that's making that pulled pork, I would not serve it. I'll serve it to you on the side, and you can figure out how you want to eat it. But for someone who's putting it together, I will never serve it to you with barbecue slather, you know, all over it. You do that yourself. You can destroy it yourself. But that's my work of art. You know what I'm saying? But in Brad, you going to the winery? Thank you.
Mayonnaise on your sandwich that's got a nice barbecue pork or beef.
No, so if any time that I serve it to someone, I will never put the sauce on their behalf.
But so here's the question though: if you want to make specifically barbecue sandwiches, and you're okay with putting a slaw on it, that slaw is going to have mayonnaise in it, probably. Unless you're doing like a, there are a few vinegar-based slaws, but probably it's going to have mayonnaise in it. So you're effectively putting a mayonnaise sauce on top of that barbecue. That's not offensive. I don't see anything wrong.
But again, it depends. It depends. If you ever come to my house and I'll cook for you, I'll always put it in a way for you to put it together. I will not. Together for you. You figure it out. If you want to destroy the flavor, go at it.
I do a similar thing when I have a lot of people over. Here's the food that's created. Dish up how you like, right?
The flavor is important, Chris, but the key thing here, right? Because again, when you're making something, as we talk about with drinks, as James talks about, you know, he puts bitters in, he puts... James, you're right over there, buddy.
Yeah, just spill your drink. It was unfortunate. That was a delightful amount of chicken cock that I just poured all over my table and leg. It's great.
Slurp it up. Go get a straw, bro.
Suck that off your lap, James. But see, the thing that it's inferred from your conversation. I agree with you. You serve it to where the person can ruin it, because the flavor of a smoked pork. Pulled pork sandwich is the smoking of the pork, right? So it's not like, okay, well, you put the barbecue sauce to give additional flavor. No, the main attraction to me is the smoked pulled pork. That's what I want for my flavor. Yeah. That's the compliment. It's what did you use to smoke it? How long did you smoke it? How tender is it? Oh. Right? Well, that's what I mean. That's the thing. Yeah. The barbecue sauce is, I could throw that same barbecue sauce on a piece of bread in that pulled pork sandwich, and the piece of bread would taste the same. You can destroy it. You can just lather it up with that barbecue sauce and eat it with a spoon, and it will taste the same.
Depending on what you're going for on the meat side, one of my favorite rubs to use is really just salt and pepper. and really bring out the meat. You have to have a good piece of meat for that. Overall, you can have, I think there is a correct scenario. Like, so for example, I've got a barbecue sauce that I really like that is a peppercorn barbecue sauce, and it pairs fantastically with a salt and pepper only brisket. It's all about quantity though, because I want that variance so that when you're eating it, it's non-homogenous. So when you bite into that sandwich, if you're doing it in a sandwich form factor, you get a lot of that meat and a little bit of that barbecue on the bun, and it makes the bun more interesting. And it's a matter of like, what are you using for your bread? It contributes to the experience. So that's how I like to do it.
Yeah. No, talking about experience, so Brad, you went to a winery and you went from sweet to dry. If you were to drink the, you know, I don't know if you liked any of it, but if you were to drink or eat something similar at home, do you think it tastes a difference, or is it the ambience and the experience makes food and drink taste better?
I do think atmosphere plays a big part into your experience while dining, whether it's scenery, temperature. Again, we have five senses. It's the same type of thing. If you eat something with your nose plugged, right? So, you know, do you get the same taste? Ambiance plays a lot of it, I believe. They've done studies. Plate color makes a big difference on your dining experience. Yeah. So do I think that the food in that sandwich would have been just as good at home if I could have it prepared at home? It's almost like getting takeout and they put it in the styrofoam container and you take it home and you eat it. It doesn't taste the same as if they served it to you fresh in the restaurant.
Yeah.
But the experience of it prepared fresh there, being in the winery, seeing the kegs, seeing the big things that they put the wine in to, you know, whatever they do to dispense it into the bottles, like all that stuff just made for a more joyous experience.
I agree with you 100%, because if you take a drink, so for example, a beer or even a cocktail, you know, how you serve, like, I'll give you an example. I just came back from Atlanta. I was in Atlanta, and, you know, one of the reasons why we didn't do the recording last time, we're doing recording now.
Way to go.
I was in Atlanta,
way
right?
Way to have a life outside of this podcast, yeah. Chris.
Yeah, I know, right? This life that I have, I got to travel the East Coast time, you know, Brad's time. So anyway, we went out for a drink, and I had this, you know, Atlanta does not have a very good drink scenery or IPAs or kind of beer life or beer experience. They're very limited, not like in the West Coast or maybe even the Northeast. And so I ordered a drink at a restaurant. It tastes much better at a restaurant versus drinking it at home, because the ambience and the, you know, the location that was on, it made it feel like it's, I don't know, more tasteful for some odd reason.
I think there's actually some science to that.
It's weird.
So interesting little details that can be big factors in your experience. Starting with beer, just simply how it is being poured, coming out of a tap, drinking it in a glass, as opposed to coming out of a bottle, mm-hmm. can make a difference in a number of factors. But even if we set all those variables aside, I learned something interesting in my trip to France last year when I was talking through and tasting and testing a number of cognacs, which I've since tried doing a little bit of playing around with as it relates to stuff I've tried on the podcast when I talk about any kind of whiskey or cognac. What you've eaten that day, what time of day it is, and even things like how humid it is can change your perception of taste for the thing that you're drinking. So by the very fact of the environment you're in being different time of day, different variables add up to a different overall experience. This is a level of nuance that a lot of people probably don't think about. And I have some friends that, like, if I ask them what their whiskey tastes like, they say it's whiskey flavored whiskey. Like, that's as far as they want to go. They don't want to think about taste profiles or flavor profiles or aromatics. Like, none of this is something they want to care about. That's fine. And if you're that person listening to this podcast, that's chill. Enjoy it however you like. But if you're the sort of person that wants to understand it more, because understanding can bring a higher level of enjoyment, that's my perspective, then the atmosphere piece that Chris calls out, I think is a very real element. There is something about, there is a very different experience having a glass of chicken cock on my side porch when it's slightly rainy or like a storm is about to blow in versus sitting in my dining room.
Having it on your lap.
Versus pouring it all over my desk and having to lick it up like a dog. I'm just saying, like, you know, there's a difference. And no, for anyone listening, I did not lick it up. So
some visuals we just don't want.
You know, that's super fair. Super fair. Interesting thing for anybody that cares, feedback on the chicken cock that I'm drinking. It is a Kentucky Straight Rye, which we've talked about in the past. It's a whiskey that Brad really likes. And interestingly, I had had it a long time ago. Brad got it and was like, it's awesome. I love it. And I was like, yeah, I've had it. But I hadn't tried it again since I've experienced all of these other whiskeys. So I'm coming back to it again. And here's the interesting thing to me about it. It has a lot of maple notes, which is something you get off of some sweeter whiskey sometimes. And it's very smooth on the nose. It's also got a little bit of that like Kentucky or like almost like Tennessee sour whiskey flavor going on, but it's not sour. It stands with a rye flavor, so it's still got a little bit of a rye profile, but it's muted. So it's not as spice forward as I would normally want from a rye. And then from a sweetness perspective, I would classify it as still a sweeter whiskey. I think it's interesting. It's a fun flavor profile, and you know, it's a great journey to come back to.
I think it's a great whiskey, and the true question I have, because I have ADD tonight, that mm-hmm. piano tone can make any conversation sound dramatic.
That's super fair.
I went to the store, James, and I picked up a candy bar and I gave my dollar to the clerk. And do you know what she said to me?
You have to use US currency, sir.
Have a nice day.
Oh.
See, you can make it. I'm sorry.
No, okay, so going back to the experience of drinking liquor, whatever that is, at a restaurant, one of the things I came across, and kind of jumping into the widget of this part of the podcast, I came across, because I wanted to try a different beer, right? Pilsner, from Pilsner to Stout, whatever. I found out that there's actually an app that you can download. It's a social beer drinking app called Untapped, UNTAPPD. And you sign in, basically you check in to a restaurant and you'll see that all the drinks they have. Oh, you have it. There you go. Perfect. You should add me because I just started. And you can share your thoughts about this beer, and the restaurant owners sees that too. And it, I mean, the whole world could technically see it if you want to share it, but it, because here's the biggest problem I have. When I go out to try a beer, I always forget what they taste like. I always forget, okay, did I like this last time? And so this app helped me remember if I've drank it before, if I tasted it, or if I liked it, and I can filter and maybe find it in the future. So I thought this app was really, really cool to try it out. I'm not sure if they have one for whiskeys, man. Or
a friend of mine described this app to me. And anybody on that's listening to the podcast that understands Pokemon will appreciate this as a Pokedex for beer, a personalized Pokedex for beer, where you can understand what you're finding in the wild. You can see what the Pokedex says, what Untapped says it's going to be, and you can make notes about this thing that you experienced and found. And I mean, if you're into Pokemon, it might really encourage you to do this. But outside of it, just as Chris said, it's a fun way to be able to track your beers and see your experiences. There is a brewery in Wisconsin that I absolutely love. I think as of right now, it is probably my favorite brewery. It creates a type of beer that is not necessarily my favorite type of beer, but damn, do I love everything they're making. The brewery is called Youngblood, and they produce a ton of different beer that are always like bespoke individual batches. You cannot get the same beer 6 months later. They're going to make a beer. It has a fun name. It's available. You can get it now. And in 6 months, they'll have a different beer with a different name. So like, and the names are always interesting. Like one of them was Boomer Aspirin. Like names of beer, Boomer Aspirin. But yeah, they make a ton of really good sours. And if you're into sours, I love them. They have a lot of other beer styles, but those are the styles that draw me to their stuff. And that's one of the things where like documenting it on your app, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Speaking about sours, I had an opportunity to drink a sour beer. I went to downtown Seattle, and those are really, really good. It surprised me how good they were with the sour beers, but I also found out that they're super expensive. Those nice imported ones can cost you $30 a bottle. That's expensive.
That's quite really, really expensive good. For a beer, Chris. I think your beer prices in Seattle might be outpacing beer prices in Wisconsin. Sure. Yeah. Damn.
So, yeah, I guess it depends where you're traveling. Like what are the options you have for beer? I mean, certainly I know Atlanta was not a beer place.
I was looking for another sound effect that you had to remind me to add. I want to get that.
That's fair. With the inflation we've had this year, that's a very apt sound effect to have. The interesting thing about sours, and I was listening to one of the guys behind a brewer. So there's a bunch of local breweries where you can in the Milwaukee area where I can go talk to the guy making it, and we can talk about what they're doing and why they're building it. One of the brewers I was talking to expressed a theory that he thinks that the fad in the taste for beer is going to swing into sours because it swung so hard into IPAs and specifically extra bitter IPAs. And now what's coming into popularity and in some areas is already just heavily popular is hazy IPAs, which if for anybody that doesn't know, the hazy IPA changes when you add the hops, and which changes the bitterness in the profile. So you can end up with something that's a little bit hazy, but it's typically less bitter. I think that it's going to swing for a lot of people into sours. Not everyone enjoys sour things, but anybody that does will probably start to enjoy that as a trend coming forward. It's just a theory. At least that's the theory that this brewer was banking on. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see, man. But to check out the app if you're into beer, Untappd social drinking app. I'll certainly will start doing that because I come across a lot of beers around this place, and I'd love to start tracking them out, tracking what I've been drinking.
Can you share your profile publicly so then you can disclose your reviews for those that listen to this?
I'll put it in the show notes. You can follow the beers that I've been drinking, I guess.
It's good. I do have a quick PSA that I want to give for all of our listeners. Assuming this episode airs on or before the 12th of July, for anybody that is into buying things on discounts and are really excited about Amazon's Prime Day, I want to call out.
Dangerous.
There's an app, or rather an add-on for Chrome that you should probably be using called Keepa, which will help you see the trending data for the sale prices for the things you want to get that are supposedly on sale. Because a lot of them for Prime Day, the price didn't change. They just increased the what it was price, the list price.
Interesting. So it makes it look
you're getting
like
a huge discount. So it's like it normally sells for $32. It's still $32, but now they say it used to be $48, but it was just $32 last week too.
Interesting.
So for anybody super excited about Prime Day, not saying you shouldn't do it, not saying you won't find good deals, you probably will, but not everything that is on sale is actually what it on seems. Sale.
Ooh, I should download that. Didn't you just buy something, Brad, on Amazon Prime deal? Man, now you feel like you're going to get gypped.
Man, I don't feel like I'm gypped because I have another philosophy. I don't play the game of, did I save a penny? Did I save a dollar?
Could
I have gotten it for $2 cheaper? Yeah. I buy what I buy if I'm comfortable with the price, feeling that it's the value for
That's
me.
That's fair.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't get upset that way. So many people say, oh, I could have saved $2 if I bought it. Oh, man, you should have done this. How long would it have taken me to find it? How long would it have taken me to compare all these prices? If I want to pay $2.99 for a pack of gum and I feel it's a decent value for that pack of gum, I'm going to pay for it. What did I order for Prime Day? I ordered a Stream Deck.
Ooh.
It was on sale. I don't know if it was on sale, but they listed it as a percentage off. I ordered this new fancy holder that's like on a 27-inch arm for my phone because now Chris had worked with me to hook my camera up to my phone. On my computer up to my camera phone. Anyway, I ordered a bed elevator. So, what is a bed elevator, Brad?
I am quite curious.
Let me tell you
this.
What the bed elevator is.
Bed elevator.
So, I went on a trip and I had the best sleep of my life for the entire week while I was on that trip. And what I ended up doing is I thought the bed was extremely comfortable. But the bed also had, it was one of those beds that had the, you know how you can raise your head and raise your feet? So I raised my head slightly while I was sleeping. And I said, I wonder if that had anything to do with it. No, because I don't sleep too well. I mean, I do sleep well sometimes, but I just don't sleep well long. I even listen to Rainforest at night, just to let you know. That's what I fall asleep to. So if I ever hear the rain and some of the stuff, if you play it, I'll probably fall asleep. But I was looking at these beds. Those beds are very expensive to have the beds where you can press the button that go up and down. And wait till you see the other thing I bought, which I haven't even opened up yet, but I'll tell you, that goes along with this whole sleeping process. It's like a wedge. I'm like, do I want to spend $3,000 on this bed that I can go up and down for my feet and my head? It may not do the trick for me. So I bought this wedge. A foam wedge that you place under your mattress that will elevate your head. So you're at a slight angle, which I guess is supposed to be good for sleeping. So I just put it underneath my mattress. Tonight will be the first night I'll use it.
I'm curious to know how it goes.
I will let you know because I've been trying a lot of things.
What's the theory behind an angle? Like, is this going to like help you breathe better so you don't snore as much? Like, what's it going to do?
I believe it has something to do with that. I don't know. Like I do know, but I don't know. I just read that a lot of people have great reviews. Then the other thing I bought that I haven't hooked up yet, I bought a bed jet.
I have no idea what that is.
Yes.
See, an elevator. Now you got a jet.
Were you? Yeah. I feel like there's so much like happening with your bed. Like this is. There's definitely something going on there, Chris. I don't know what's happening with Brad's bed, but like there is.
I won't make too many changes at once. So at first I used to have a comforter and I switched to a quilt, which was a huge savings because do you know when you sleep, temperature is important as far as what the temperature is around you. Like you go to bed when it's hot, then you should have cool and then you start to have heat when you wake up, right? What a bed jet is, I also was looking at like things like 8Sleep, which is another similar product, right? It works differently, but a similar product. These products regulate the temperature of your bed while you sleep. So this bed jet is much cheaper than the 8Sleep. A family member told me about it because they said they've read a lot of reviews. I did follow them blindly and purchase it. But it has a sheet and it has this vent that you hook up to the sheet and it puts like, you don't need to buy the special sheet. You could make one yourself, or you could just throw it on your bed. But if you watch the reviews of like a bed jet, if you don't have the special sheet, then you just have air blowing up underneath your blankets. I think it would be uncomfortable. But then between the two blankets that you sleep under, it has a pocket of air. And that air temperature is regulated by this device.
So what you're saying is,
you won't, some people who sweat at night or get hot at night, this will actually regulate the temperature of the air. So you should
sleep. Can you go the other direction and heat the air up for somebody that's cold?
Yes. It's supposed to.
This is like personal air conditioning.
It's not one of those intelligent ones. It's much cheaper than the 8 Sleep, which is one that I was looking into. And the 8 Sleep one is the intelligent one because it can track your sleep. It could track your movement, so it understands.
Why do that? Why can't you just
why not just get like a giant onesie that has like built-in coolant heating properties? Like why use like a jet on your bed?
Hmm. Sleep with less clothes, man, that your body would regulate. I don't ever sleep with clothes on.
Chris, that's not good. That's something that's I don't want to hear. Number one. Number two, I sleep with as minimal clothing as possible to be effective in the room that I'm in. The issue is your body can only regulate so much, because if the temperature of your room is 90 degrees, you're not going to cool off to 60 degrees. If the temperature of your room is 60 degrees, you're not going to raise your heat to 90 degrees without comfort. Typically, you go to bed and you need to be warmer to fall asleep. Then what happens is you get hot during the night because you have too many blankets because you needed to warm up. And then you start getting what I call the meat sweats and you start sweating. So this is something that's supposed to help that. So...
Or the fact that you're maybe getting older, you can't regulate your body.
Brad getting an old man. Maybe
that has something to do with it, Chris. I don't know, but I'm on this mission to try all these different things. I tried weighted blankets. I was too hot. Now I ended up getting rid of the comforter and going to a quilt, which made a huge difference because I haven't woken up warm since. But now I'm going to take it to another level with the bed jet.
Did you try a weighted blanket that had a quilted center or that was like open and woven? Because like they do have weighted blankets that are a lot more airy, which I find is quite nice over the top of like whatever sheet or whatever else you wanted to use because it doesn't make you as hot. I also found weighted blankets were difficult.
I used the quilt.
That said, Brad, I think you muted.
I did try one. It was a little awkward. I didn't find it helpful.
So to a note to everyone that wants to try these items, everything that we talked about is either a free application that you can use referencing the two apps that I and Chris mentioned. So that's Untappd on the beer side. And that is Keepa as far as a Chrome add-in for Amazon. You can go buy some products similar like Brad said. If you feel like you don't sleep well, maybe check them out. And leverage Keepa to find out if you're getting a good price or not.
But if anybody has any sleep tips, let me know. I tried magnesium. I'm telling you, I've been trying it all. I tried that melatonin, which was nothing.
It doesn't work. Those things don't work.
That was Brad, like nothing.
Where could they interact with us if somebody wanted to be able to engage with us on social media?
They could engage with us on Twitter.
I think.
Instagram. Yeah. Oh, Chris has an email too. I think it's Whiskey and Widgets, right?
Yes.
Whiskey Chris, and Widgets. I forgot what all those things are. It's been a while.
Dude, at this point, we're just having a good time, man.
So reach out to us. Definitely like to try and post photos of interesting drinks that we do. So from an Instagram perspective, you can get an idea of some of the stuff that we're doing that way. Join us and take a look.
That's so funny. Oh, geez.
I'll let everybody know about my, sleep experience. I haven't told any of you guys about this. Like I've been
into this. I even read before bed. So I do fall asleep. I do fall asleep well. The problem's not falling asleep. The problem's staying asleep. Like this morning, I woke up at 2:30 Eastern and I didn't get to sleep.
That's rough, dude. That's super rough. My wife gets real frustrated with me because I'm very quick to fall asleep and then I wake up on time. And it's like I close my eyes, I'm off, open my eyes, and I'm awake. And that's just every single night. So if you can't sleep like that, you're not alone. Brad's going to start a support group for all of our listeners that can't sleep well.
Yes. And we can call it the Midnight Talk. We can talk about how we're.
Do you want to call it the Midnight Whiskey,
Chris?
The Midnight Whiskey.
Welcome to the Midnight Whiskey. I'm your host, Brad. On this episode, we get to talk to Chris. Chris, what is your issue? Oh, we recently heard from James. James last week told us about how he had a problem with chicken cock, and that's why he wasn't sleeping well. James. Did you resolve your problem with that?
I don't know that I've ever had a problem with chicken cock, Brad. I think it is quite delightful. All right, guys. It's been fun. Thank you, everybody. For anyone listening that's curious, you can reach out to us. We will post on Instagram on occasion. And I would just like to encourage everyone. We just had a great season in Wisconsin for music outdoors. If you have not started getting back into the habit of doing things, going and checking out local events, based on your area, pandemic does allow for it. So try to experience life a little, live a little, and enjoy life.
Chris, Is that the outro?
Well, I want to say thank you, listeners, for joining us for another insightful journey through the realms of whiskey and widgets. Today, we've once again explored the beautiful dance of the world of technology and whiskey, proving how two seemingly different spheres can harmoniously blend together. Until next time, keep pushing boundaries, keep creating, and keep savoring the richness of life. This is your host, Chris, Brad, and James. And Brad, take us out, man.
James. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Brad.
Well spoken, my friend.
July 12th, 2023.
Cheers.
Thank you, everybody.